We always think that we're so smart. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. We always think that we're so smart. We know the program that we have taught ourselves to use in gaining any skill. And that's one word. Practice, practice, practice. And in gaining any skill that's worthwhile, we choose to practice. And then, when we come to the really big skills, we forget about practicing. We forget all about our responsibility of practice starts with us. Now, Ellen wants to run the Olympics. She wants to be the high jumper. And so Ellen starts out jumping low first. And then little by little she jumps higher and higher. And all of a sudden she finds that she can jump very high. And she says, good. And so that's just the first 2 months of the year. The rest of the year, Ellen lives on her laurels. Yeah, I jumped that 7-foot hurdle. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that. Well, comes time for the Olympics. And Ellen goes to the Olympics. And she gets to the Olympics, and she is among other people there who are creative, dynamic athletes. And they know that they're good. They know they can jump high. They know they can run fast. And they do it. And they have nicely developed bodies and nicely developed attitudes. And they run very well. And then Ellen comes there and runs with them, or in competition with them. And Ellen finds that she can hardly lift her legs. She can hardly do anything. She is like I got a lead weight around her neck and around her feet and around her arms. And she just works awfully hard to accomplish anything, and she can't figure out what it is. Well, she goes to her teacher and she says, what am I doing wrong? What's going on here that I feel like I've got lead weights around me? And her teacher said, do you believe in yourself? Oh, yeah. Then, how can you have lead weights around you if you believe in yourself? Well, I believe, I know I can do it. I did it. I'm fine. Do you believe in yourself? Yes, I believe in myself. Do you believe in yourself? Yes, I believe in myself. Do you know that these other athletes, they believe in themselves too? Well, I would think so. But they also have other capacities that you don't utilize. Oh, what is that? Well, these other athletes have the capacity of saying, I am the winner, and anyone who thinks he can run against me and win has lead weights around their neck and around their feet. And anyone who competes against me is going to just feel like their world is just coming down on them. They come down with a cold where they never had one before. They come down with problems in their family that they have to address themselves to and worry about, which they never had to do before. But other minds, other attitudes influence us, and when we are not prepared for it, we are inundated by it. We are controlled by it. And so Ellen, who thinks she knows it all about jumping and running, and who had proved to herself that she can do it, but yet here she is on the field, and she can't run at all. And she can't jump at all. She just like lead weights are tied to every bit of herself, and she's unable to do it. So then she's, okay, now we know what the problem is. What's the solution? And I said, there is no solution. You mean I can't win the race? That's right. You mean I cannot jump ever again? That's right. Well, what can I do? I want to jump. I want to do this. I don't believe you do. Why do you say that? That's not fair. You're supposed to be supporting me and helping me. No, I'm sharing with you principle. Anyone who wants to accomplish something does what? They practice. They practice either mentally or physically, but they always are practicing. Every fence they see, they say, yeah, I could jump that, and then they mentally jump it. And they see how they hold the pole, and they see how they create themselves running toward the fence, and when they have liftoff, and then when they can drop down, and when they land on the other side with their legs acting as hydraulic springs and smoothly and easily falling into place, or even running into place, and never feeling any tension at all from landing from that height. Now, do you know what that is all about? Yeah, I've done it once or twice, yeah. Uh-huh. But do you know what it's all about? Do you do it every moment of your life? Do you jump over everything do you see? Do you love to jump? Is jumping just the most wonderful, fun thing of your whole life? Do you really practice every moment of your life, every day of your life, and accomplish? Now, those winners do. Those winners are always challenging themselves with new heights, with new attitudes, with new leaps, and they are not interested in another human being on the face of the earth except their own self and their own talent. And you are concerned about everybody's problems. You're concerned about your problems. You're concerned about what things are not going right in your life. You're concerned about who is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You're concerned about why the dogs are not acting the way they should, why your dog is eating too much, and you're concerned about all these things, and those are not how you practice jumping. Now, Helen, let's continue using you as a sample here. Say, for instance, you say to me, Herb, I would like to be a master in everything that I do. And I would say, Ellen, how sincere are you in this? Oh, very sincere. Are you so sincere that you'll set aside everything else for a period of time that I tell you and only think on that? Oh, sure. For the next 10 years? Oh, you mean for the next 10 years, I'm not supposed to think about anything. I've got other things to do. I've got life to live. Okay, so then in other words, being a master is not really what you want to be. You want to just be an ordinary person who is doing whatever you're doing, and you're just being happy. And you're eating directly from the bowl and being happy. And you're finding that that is just wonderful, and that's just who you are, and you're wonderful. Now, it's great. Nobody else is going to be eating the beans, Ingeborg, so we might as well finish the bowl. Now, that's what she had in mind. She was going to take the bowl and scrape it all out into another bowl and dirty another bowl and then eat from the other bowl and then think that she wishes she had some more. Well, that's a good way to do it. Now, Ellen, what are you going to do? Now, you and Sylvia are sitting here listening to me talk. Now, did I divert your attention from what you said you wanted to do? What did you say you wanted to do, Ellen? You want to be the master?
Master, 10 years.
No. You see, the 10 years is what got you. But did you want to be a master?
Be a master.
Okay, now, when you are a master, are you ever concerned about what anybody else does? Why are you not concerned about what anybody else does?
Because I am the master, and I'm the only one existing.
That's right.
The master sees another master.
Oh, that's a good one, too. So, you see another one doing dumb things. If you see anybody in your world doing dumb things, then that's what you think a master is. Now, if you see everyone in your world doing beautiful, smart, wise things, then that's what you are as a master. Mm-hmm. Sylvia, if you see anybody in your world doing anything contrary to what you think is for their highest good and your highest good, you're not a master. Mm-hmm. What does a master do? A master sees an exact replica of himself. So, in other words, you are a master. You are a dumb master, seeing things that you don't want.
Yeah.
dumb things.
So if you want to be a dumb master, seeing things that you say you don't want, then you go right ahead. You're doing a good job. But if you want to be a smart master, a master who sees everything in divine order, then, hey, you cannot for one second see anybody out of order. You cannot for one second see anyone doing something that is not masterly. Now, back to our Olympics again. If Ellen is going to jump in the Olympics, Ellen has to be a Mexican jumping bean. Every moment of her life, she has to be thrilled about the possibility of jumping. Always saying, how would I handle that? How much would I stand back for? How long must my pole be? It doesn't matter what the hurdle is. It's a matter of where she wants herself to be. And she goes flying up, her feet straight up in the air on the top of her pole. Her pole is 18 feet long, and she's standing up another 5 feet above the 18 feet, and she's going around, and then as she comes down like a beautiful arc, just like a gentle flow. It's not whoosh, bang, boom, it's flow gently, sweet Afton, and it goes down just so beautifully, and she's falling right into place, which is her attention. Now, if she said, oh my God, how could I ever jump over something like that? You're dead. You're lost. Oh, I never do it. These other people can do it so easily. Sure. Because they practice in their mind, and they practice, in fact, doing it. Now, is there any area of your life, since you're not a pole vaulter or a high jumper, since there any area in your life that you would like to demonstrate your mastership? Your mastership in seeing everybody being supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Is there any area? Now, don't answer me, but think about it. Is there any area? Now, if you have an area, are you practicing being a master of yourself in that area? Or are you touched by what you see? Are you touched by the illusions that go on about you? Are you touched by the people you create in your world? Now, let's just look at Ingeborg. Here she is, a lovely 83 years old. Now, what does she do? She's a fantastic woman. She's always doing beautiful things. She's always doing wonderful things. She's always doing everything in order. She's always doing the mail perfectly. She's always doing the keeping the accounts of all the people and stuff like that, doing everything perfectly. Operates her computer perfectly, operates everything perfectly. She's always fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Now, did any of you have even the tiniest little tinkling in your heart that says, well, what are you giving her all that praise for? What are you giving her all that credit for? You know, why are you talking about her? Then you got a problem. But if you say, Herb, that's exactly my thought, then what is going on? Then you too are seeing everything as a master. You see everybody in the world as a master. Do you want to see someone less than you are? If you do, you're really sick. If you want to see anyone who cannot do all the things you do and do them as beautifully as you do them, then you have certainly got a bad attitude toward being a master. And that's not the way you want to go. The way you want to go is to see everybody as supercalifragilistic as you are. To see everybody as beautiful as you are, to see everybody as fantastic as you are, and see everybody as full of energy and full of life and full of sincerity and joy and peace and high jumping as you do. And when you do that, then you're on the road to being your absolute master self. Now, at all times, and we mustn't forget this, at all times we're a master. And sometimes we're a master of dumb things as we say are dumb, and sometimes we're a master of smart things. Well, I would suggest all of us, every moment of our life, pay our attention to being a master of smart things. Now, Ellen just allowed a noise from her kid, the little poodle, to take her away from this conversation. And Ellen is going to have a very difficult time being the master she says she'd like to be. She is concerned about things that are of no concern to her. Now, if she hears her dog bark, she says, oh, he's having fun. If she hears the dog make a movement in his bed, she says, oh, isn't he a wonderful dog? But if forever, any instant, she is worried, what's he doing? Where is he? What does he want? Does he need something? Do I have to cover him? Do I have to... You see, any moment that you ever think that, then that's the area. Now, Ellen, are you always aware of little love and what he is doing at night? Are you aware when little love gets uncovered in the middle of the night and he's cold but he still tries to sleep? You're not aware. You're sound asleep yourself. Well, Ellen said, oh, yes, I am aware. Well, the thing is, Ellen, if you would practice, and here's a practice thing for you. When you put little love to bed, he stays in bed and he stays there comfy and cozy. And you say this and you say this and you say this. He is comfy and cozy all night long. And when he awakens in the morning, at whatever time you say, not the time he says, whatever time you say, like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock rock, you know, or whatever you want to say, that's what you got. But if you're going to say, oh, I never know when he's going to get up. He gets up this and he comes and he begs at my bed and he wants my attention. And you create that because that's what you want. Mm-hmm. Now, are you ready to have him do what you want him to do at the time you want him to do it? Mm-hmm. Are you ready to create yourself the winner of the high jumps? Are you ready to practice, practice, practice? Now, you have to practice it very much. Now, does Ingeborg always do the right and beautiful thing?
Yes.
Does Sylvia always do the right and beautiful thing? Is Sylvia more interested in seeing the university and its programs and things like that go ahead more than anybody in the whole world that you can ever think of even? Uh-huh. Now, when you start thinking those thoughts, you start getting those actions. Now, it's not a long way from what is the fact to what is the truth, you know. But now, what sort of actions are you going to get? And Ingeborg, she says, gee, I can't really stand up straight. I have this problem. I've taken these pills that I shouldn't take, and they're bothering me, and they're doing this to me, and they're doing... Shut up. Now, you don't say what's bothering you. You just stop taking them. If you find them bothering you, you shut up about it. And then you take what doesn't bother you. You take what supports your healthy attitude toward life. But you see, it's not the pills you take. What is it? It's your mental attitude about yourself. Now, do you like yourself? Are you a happy girl? Are you the happy person who feels that life is just wonderful and I'm doing great things? Well, then keep it up. But if for 1 minute you say, ouch, I stubbed my toe, ouch, I connect my knee, ouch, you know, I got a problem, then you got a problem. Now, the problem may last for a second, but you might try an experiment and see how many times you think about the problem. How many times you think about the time that you stubbed your toe, which was maybe a year ago, and in that time, 3 million times you think about having stubbed your toe. And every time you think about having stubbed your toe is back in Hurtsville. And that's what you want. That's what you create. Now, when are you willing to let it go?
Now.
When are you willing to let the cancer go? When are you willing to let the unhappiness go? When are you willing to let the limitation go of things not working out like they should? Because they're all our thought. And our thought can be just as wonderful on the other side of the fence, you know, where all things are green and beautiful. And if you're ready for that, that's great. Now, you each have the opportunity to be number one in your world. Ellen is concerned about having the cover of our book be a green color. And Ellen doesn't realize that she can take a photocopy of the cover of the book and email it to anybody, and that the photocopy of the color of the book that printed by the color printer is going to be as close as she's going to ever get to the color that she wants.
Good idea.
And when she does that, then it's done and it's over with. Mm-hmm. And The people on the other end, they'll use their color printer, and their color printer will be as true as yours. And so it's off a little this way with that. Who cares? Who cares? Now, have you ever seen a green book cover that you really would like to have that's even better than the one that we have? And if you have, like the top of that little container there, that green container. Now, you don't like grass green, huh? Okay, but so you take the book from Song of the Spirit and you photocopy it in color and send that off as an email to whomever, and it's done. And if he sends us the book printed in a color green that we never saw before, that'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? You know? That'd be kind of, can you release it? Do you have to have it a certain way? Did the color green, the one that we choose, did we choose that above 100 other copies that we had a choice to choose from? No. In fact, we didn't even tell, no. They printed on what they wanted to and what they had. And that's great, but you see, when you release the problem releases you. And so long as you hold on to the problem is yours. And this is so wonderful when we realize it. We have here on campus a staff of people who are indefatigable. They are absolutely indefatigable in their effort on behalf of the university, on behalf of the students, on behalf of themselves, on behalf of their world. And it is a pleasure to work with them, because they're always thinking of new ways to do their job more efficiently and more joyously and more fun. And regardless of any appearance to the contrary, that's all I know. That's all I see, that's all I am, and that's all that is. And it's kind of nice, isn't it? So, in your world, whatever experiences you're going through, if you're finding that life is not fun anymore, it is only because you are going to the wrong circus. And it's about time that you wake up and go to the right circus. And that circus is called being
yourself and having fun.
Being
myself and have fun.
Being
myself and have fun.
What else? What else?
I like it.
No. That's good too. But I mean, what else? Be yourself and have fun. Can you have a better circus than that? Can you laugh more than that? Can you be happy more than that? That's the whole ball of wax. And I like myself, and all these others are good too. But be yourself and have fun. But the trouble is, the person whom you think that you are, who you think you are, is not really the person you're being. The person you think you are is somebody off in imagination, and the person that you are is a person who's hard knocks, you know. A lot of troubles, a lot of problems, a lot of things not going right. So let that go. Let that go. I was watching through the hummingbird feeder this morning at breakfast, and I looked out the window, and we have a beautiful spiked cactus-type plant. It's very beautiful, very green, very succulent-type, and it has points all over it. Well, as I was looking, two birds decided to light on the points of the cactus, and they were talking to each other. And they were saying, now this bush over here looks pretty good. Let's go try that bush out. So one jumped over to the bush next to it that had purple flowers on and was investigating it. And the other looked at him and said, you may have something there. So she jumped over to the bush too, and she jumped on a lower level. And she was pecking around and looking around. And he looked around and he said, oh, I see something else. And zoom, he was gone. 100 miles an hour over somewhere else. And she just looked up where he was and said, yeah, you go run around all you like. I am enjoying this. And she did. She just thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, did she let somebody else push her around? Oh, maybe he might lead her to something good. But once she found something good, what was she going to do?
She enjoyed it.
Enjoy it. She's going to stay there and enjoy it. Now, Have you found something good? Have you found your, what do they call the circus royale, the circus, have you found your special circus?
Mm-hmm.
So, about time, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It is done.
Yes.
I love you eternally.
Love you.